everyone. I'm Susie Sevier.
And I'm Michael Barnhart. Welcome to the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast, where we interview industry experts and chat with them about their passions and how they are leveraging real estate investing to create an impact in their world. What impact do you want to make?
Did you know there are almost 8 billion people on this planet? What if each of us started with ourselves, with our family, in our community? All we have to do is start with a manageable 1% action every day. The effect of those billions of 1% gestures would be astronomical. This is your place to reflect and believe. Join us every week to start cultivating those ideas on the impact that you want to make in your world.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. I'm Susie.
And I'm Michael, and we're excited you joined us for this adventure. So in today's episode, going along with the three-part theme here about inflation, where the multifamily market is, and also why multifamily assets are such a good hedge against inflation. Okay, so we're in part two. We're only going to talk about inflation and what the Fed is doing to kind of curb inflation through quantitative tightening and things like that. Kind of give us our take on it from the articles that we've read. Obviously, Susie and I are not learned economists. However, we do read economic information all the time because we find it is very, very important to our job to make sure that we have the correct fiduciary responsibility to our investors.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, this episode is actually very timely because the report for August 2022 just came out. And inflation was still reported to be at 8.3, or the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, was reported to be at 8.3%. Now, that is down from June, which was 9.1, and July at 8.5. So it is trending down. However, after the report came out yesterday, the markets did take a dump again, basically. I mean, I'll get into the reasoning behind that a little bit later. But the consumer price index is still, so inflation is still at a four-decade high. But this is due to a combination of events, including the breakdown of shipping pipelines, robust spending demand, the price of gas owing to Russia's war in Ukraine, the growth in home values and rent increases, and the overstimulation of the economy from pandemic relief package, which is basically quantitative easing that was produced by the Fed.
But Michael, what does that mean? Like, is help on the way? Like, what's going on right now? So recently passed, the Inflation Reduction Act received a lot of media coverage. I'm sure you read about it, you've heard about it, people are probably talking about it. But what does that all mean? So experts are predicting that it will do little to nothing to stop inflation anytime soon, which is kind of a bummer for some, right? So I'm really sorry to tell you that. But in fact, a lot of economists expect that the act will actually contribute to increasing inflation through 2024. So this roller coaster is not over yet. We're still on further ahead. But we always were, and we knew that something like this could happen one day, so that's totally okay. But what does that mean for everybody else, Michael?
Yeah, millions of Americans have been impacted as pricing for basic goods like food, gas, and heating oil have all risen dramatically since the pandemic has started. Despite the recent pullback, and Susie will get into that, or we'll get into that a little bit later, average gasoline prices across the U.S. have nearly doubled from this time in 2020. Analysts expect increasing price pressures as winter looms in Europe and in the US.
But something I really want to preface about what Michael just said was Europe and the US. Like, a lot of people, and I see it all over Facebook and social media, really just thought that this was something that happened to the US. Trust me, like over here in the United Kingdom, we experienced it as well. Gas went up, groceries went up. I mean, everything went up over here. So this is not just a US issue. This is also happening other places all around the world.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback on that, like, we get gas at American base over here just because, like, on the economy, it's very, very expensive. And still, it's very expensive on the American base. When we first arrived, we were paying less than 70 cents per liter, okay, which is still just four liters in a gallon, roughly. So you're looking at roughly $3 a gallon, which was typical American prices for gas. However, because of everything that's going on with oil and stuff like that in Russia and the war in Ukraine and stuff like that, and tightening oil issues here in Europe, we're now paying, I think it was like $1.50 to $1.40, but it's between $1.40 and $1.50 per liter. So that comes out to be like $6 a gallon, roughly.
Yeah. And even like not on the economy, right? Like just through, if I were to go down the street and get gas. At one point, they were pretty close to 2 pounds a liter, which would have been 8 pounds, which is way more, almost more than $10. Crazy. But where are all these price hikes coming from? I mean, Michael has mentioned that the temporary factors like the war and all of the supply chain issues that happened because of that pandemic are huge, right? But inflation hopefully may have peaked and will moderate. Like that is something that we can all look forward to, or at least a lot of people can look forward to. But the evidence for this argument that a lot of economists are taking is that shipping and energy costs, although they are still high, they have began to go down, which is great for a lot of people also. And oil prices, which is a big thing, a big topic that a lot of people are talking about, have dropped under $100 a barrel in July. So that's huge because at their peak of $140 a barrel, like that was just, for a lot of people, astronomical. That's when you saw a lot of people talking about it. So it is awesome to know that it has at least gone down and they are settling in that range.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oil prices dropped below $100 in July, as Susie mentioned, and they continue to go down a little bit as we continue to progress forward. And it kind of goes hand in hand with inflation, what we're seeing in inflation, right? Because in June, we had over 9% and then 8.5% in July, and then it's receding down to 8.3. So we're on that downward trend, which is positive, I believe. But in order to kind of taper inflation, the Fed is also speeding up the sale of the $9 trillion in bonds that it accumulated during the pandemic. And this is known as quantitative tightening, where they're trying to sell all this now. I'm not going to get into all the details between quantitative easing and quantitative tightening. Please look that up yourself and understand those concepts. But central bankers around the world are trying to tame inflation by raising interest rates as well. And the Federal Reserve is moving more quickly and more aggressively than most. As you see a rise in interest rates and things like that to make it more appealing to sell these bonds off. And as a result, rates are now markedly higher in the United States than they are in many other larger economies, luring investors attracted by the higher returns, as I mentioned previously, on even relatively conservative investments such as treasury bonds in the US. So a lot of countries love to buy US dollars because it's such a very strong currency. So as the money has begun to pour in to purchase these bonds through quantitative tightening that the Feds are doing, the value of the dollar has increased, and which is really cool, which is great and also bad, but I'll get into that in a minute. But the value of the US dollar is the strongest it has been in a generation. Okay. Just let that sink in for a second. So the devaluing currencies around the world are unsettling, and the outlook for the global economy as it upends everything from the cost of a vacation abroad to the profitability of multinational companies.
But I want you to tell me, like, what is the difference between the two now, right? Because when we moved here, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm spending.
Yeah. So when we moved here, the US, so it was about 1.4 to 1.5 US dollars to the Great British Pound, which is crazy to think. And it was about,
it's not thrilling.
Yeah, it was about 1.2, I think it was like 1.15 to 1.2 euros, US dollars to 1 euro. So anywhere we traveled in Europe was very difficult because it was like, man, our dollar is not worth very much. However, recently, because of all this in strengthening the dollar and stuff like that, as I mentioned previously, the euro is now equal to the dollar. It's the first time since 2002, which is really incredible. And also, the Great British Pound has also been devalued, or the dollar has strengthened, rather, however you want to look at it, if you're positive or, you know, pessimist or optimist, whatever. But a one Great British Pound now equals 1.15 to 1.17 US dollars as it kind of moves around from day to day, which is incredible.
Well, but how do you figure this out on your own, right? If you're wanting to look this up, how you're going to gauge the dollar strength is by measuring it up against a variety of different currencies, just like major trading partners like Japan and the Eurozone. That is the biggest way, because then you can see like exactly what does my dollar equal to for this currency. And so by that measure, the dollar is at a 20-year high. It is wild, right? And so, which is also really exciting, but after gaining more than 10% this year, it's a huge move for an index that typically shifts by tiny fractions each day. Like Michael and I saw the swings drastically. Usually, right, it's like, this one was like, womp, 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 womp. Like, and that's a big deal, which is kind of cool.
Absolutely. So like I mentioned previously, like the value of the dollar increasing is amazing for people who want to travel abroad and stuff like that. However, it is not that great for companies who do a lot of international business. And so you see, even though that the dollar is strengthening, the market is still not doing that well, right? Because there's a lot of companies that are made up of these index funds like the S&P 500, Dow, NASDAQ, things like that. All these index funds that we look at to see what the state of the market is, right? And those continue to go down. Well, the reason why is because a lot of those companies wrapped up in those index funds have a lot of international business. Awesome. With the increase of the dollar is becoming so strong, but now all these other currencies around the world are being devalued. What does that mean for these companies? Well, guess what? Because they do international business, that means that the revenue for international business is dropping, right? So like Apple, I believe Apple, don't quote me on this, but I think they do like roughly 60% of their business outside the United States. And so if 60% of the revenue is made up of international business, when the value of the currencies, international currencies go down, then their revenue is also going to drop, if that makes sense. And so we're going to see economists are predicting that, and that there's some estimates that because the dollar is rising, it's going to shave about 5% off the earnings of the S&P 500 companies this year, which is equal to about $100 billion in loss. And so as a dollar increases, you're still going to see the market decreasing because of these other international factors, which is crazy to think about and things I wouldn't think about unless I was had a pulse on the economy and kind of what these different drivers do. And so with the increase of the dollar and the devaluing of international currencies and the reduction in revenue by all these companies, you're still going to see as I mentioned, a downward trend in the market for a little bit of time until everything kind of stabilizes. Therefore, in my opinion, right now, it's not a very good thing to invest in the stock market unless you're doing dollar cost averaging and things like that. However, because the market is decreasing because of the strengthening of the dollar, which is wild, the next episode in this three-part series, we're going to talk about why you should invest in hard assets. Hard assets like real estate, hard assets like multifamily real estate. And we're going to talk all about that and why investing in multifamily real estate is such a great hedge against inflation to protect your money during these crazy times. But as a bonus for the listeners, if you're still listening now, we're going to give you three things you can do as a multifamily investor or operator during high inflation. Susie, share with us.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes. So the first one, right, is you want to secure a fixed rate loan with a longer maturity date. And this is for an investor or an operator, right? Like if you are an investor, just check out that underwriting. I'll ask the operator what it is. As an operator, if you disagree with this, I'm totally sorry. This is just what Michael and I feel is best right now.
Right.
The second thing is continue to increase rents as inflation drives them, but don't bank on it long term. And so what do I mean like that? By that is that in underwriting, like if you have seen that inflation has made it so that it's been 12% increase this last year, do not put that on your underwriting year after year. If it works, that is great, but just have that as an added bonus. So the third and final thing that you can do as a multifamily investor or operator during this time is that, like I mentioned earlier, just always underwrite conservatively. Focus on the rent growth and the exit price because that is really where you win, right? Like I promise you these three things will never hurt you, but they could bring you a long ways for your exit plan. And that's something that we always look forward to.
Yeah. And just kind of reiterate on that too, as Susie mentioned, make sure that your rent growth isn't something ridiculous, double digit, stuff like that, that we've been experiencing in 2021, because we are starting to see a market cooling with rent growth. Because as we mentioned in the previous episode, if you still look at 2017, 18, 19, and then look at 2022, you'll still see a positive growth taking out 2020 and 2021, because 2020, you had a dip in rent. And then 2021, you had this screaming high double digit increase in rent, which is not sustainable. However, we are still seeing an increase, and make sure that your underwriting does include a little bit somewhere we underwrite, as I mentioned in the previous episode, somewhere between 1.5 to 3% rent growth, depending on the submarket and just understanding the market in general in our specific area. And then as far as exit price goes, just to kind of reiterate on that, like we are seeing a cooling in the market right now. So make sure that you have your cap rates in line with industry standards. So increase in cap rates by about 10 bips per year for the whole period is fairly conservative. So if you buy it at a 6 cap, expect to sell it in 5 years at a 6.5 cap. So that's 10 basis points per year. So
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope we didn't bore you to death with inflation and an economy, but I hope we were able to make it fun, interesting, give you the highlights of what we see and what we're thinking about.
And what we're reading.
And what we're reading.
Because that's absolutely the biggest thing too.
Absolutely. So until next time, explore more, adventure awaits.
Thank you so much for listening. Before you start your next adventure of the day, please take a moment to reflect on the impact that you want to make. All of our efforts combined are what make the monumental impacts. We can't do it without you.
Also, if you enjoyed the episode, please head over to iTunes and leave us an honest review with one of the great insights you received from the show today. And if you believe a friend, family member, or colleague would find great value in listening, please share our podcast with them. As always, your support means the world to us.
Until next time, explore more. Adventure awaits. Woo!